B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And he takes the snap with 14 seconds to go, and he got hit again. He flares it out. Edmonds catches it. Richardson chases him. Burris now gets in there and knocks him out. And there's a brawl going down inside the 10-yard line. Mason Rudolph and Larry Ogbe are going down, and the Steelers are kicking Ogbe in the head, and the benchers are coming off the field. Both sides are coming off the field. Marquise Pouncey was kicking Ogbe in the head.
Well, I think he'll have next weekend off.
Now, Freddie Kitchens is on the Browns sideline and telling the rest of his team to stay in the bench area. The Steelers only have about 10 guys left in their bench area. And security is out in the end zone, stringing the end zone, making sure the fans don't get out on the field.
So that's the Cleveland radio call as we give you the final hour of Agenda Free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda free. Choose from new Acuras, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. The Cleveland radio call doesn't even mention the fact that Myles Garrett ripped off Mason Rudolph's helmet and clubbed him over the head with it. Interesting little detail to leave out, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
And he had they had Pouncey kicking the wrong player on the field. Pouncey was kicking Garrett on the field. To me, the Pouncey got three games, and Ogunjobi got one. The three game for Pouncey is the only one that I don't like. I think it should have been less. I think it should have been less. When someone on the other team has ripped off your quarterback's helmet and clubs him over the head with it, I think that deserves a response.
Yeah, it's the kicking that did him in, Mark.
I know.
You can't kick a guy when he's down.
Garrett was fine. Same principle. He didn't get hurt. He's fine.
I mean, it's basically what Haynesworth did, if you think about it. He stomped.
No. Well, Haynesworth stomped on a guy without a helmet on.
Well, so that's true.
Stomped on his face.
But if you're kicking a guy in the chest with cleats on, what's the difference?
Big difference.
Yeah, it's not like it's a steel-toe boot.
No, but still, I don't have a... I mean, you might be able to talk me down to 2-1 Pouncey.
One.
You can't be kicking a guy.
One. He deserved to get kicked. He deserved to get kicked.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to. He doesn't deserve to have his life taken away, which is sort of where we started today. And whether this is the longest suspension in NFL history or not, it's approaching it. It might be the longest suspension in NFL history, depending on how you look at the Vontaze Perfect suspension from this year, which was not over a single incident. It was over an accumulation. It was for a career of suspendable hits that Perfect got 12 games or the rest of the season. So if you take out Perfect, this is longest suspension, even if it's only the six games, for a single incident in NFL history, which I think is enough. I think it was egregious. I think it was gross. But I think the league responded properly on the field. He was thrown out of the game immediately. I think the league responded well the next day. By lunchtime, he had been suspended for the rest of the year. And what more do people want? And the moral outrage that's out there is really Murray's issue here.
Yeah.
It was so good. It was so well expressed. We rarely do this, but instead of Murray asking you to repeat your opening take from 2, can we just replay it? I'll save you some work.
Does
Jimmy have it?
I told him to save it.
Oh, okay.
So, because I thought I was going to ask you to reset your opinion because I like it.
Oh, God. If you want to replay the whole hour, I'm good with that.
I don't want to start a precedent or anything.
Let's call it a dingle.
But I thought I'd give you a break and just, well.
Yeah, all right.
This is how Murray came out of the gate strong. So, you know, we can relive it.
Is everyone okay?
Here's Murray's opening take on the Myles Garrett situation. Go.
Is everyone okay? Have we calmed down? Do I need to send a therapy dog to your home so you can cope with what you saw last night? This Myles Garrett thing. Immediately, like on social media, immediately, it is a microcosm of everything I hate about everything in the world today. The outcry, the moral hand-wringing, the sanctimonious think pieces. What is happening to our precious sports? What are they doing to our sports? And if you disagree, Jim, if you disagree, and if you dare not join in the outrage for outrage's sake, well, then you're a monster. Just like Myles Garrett, who should be thrown out of the NFL and charged with felony assault. How dare you not think like the rest of us, Jim? How dare you, you monster? The self-righteous Mike Florios, the Nana Peter Kings, Damian Woody this morning on ESPN, and all the other usual suspects who can be summed up in one tidy soundbite. Jimmy, can you pull me up, please? The level of obnoxiousness from people like this is as predictable as it is putrid. Here's the reality of the situation of last night. Myles Garrett was obviously wrong. Myles Garrett is now indefinitely suspended. Mason Rudolph was fine. He wasn't concussed. He had a headache. Nothing worse than that happened. It's a violent sport with a moment that got out of hand. That's it. Nothing more. It happened. It was also wildly entertaining. So to all the moral arbiters and polite society, go F yourselves and get over yourselves. That's it. That's really all I have to say about the situation.
I just saw him telling them... telling people to go F themselves. Yeah, so, but by the way, for some reason, his drop wasn't able to be recorded.
I got it here.
Yeah, go ahead. What was the drop?
Play it.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Mm. And that about sums it up.
So, I just thought that deserved a replay, but let's not set a precedent on that, Mass.
Replay?
No, I agree.
Replay the whole hour.
Yeah, no. Seriously, I'm okay with that. I mean, you can just chop off the last 10 minutes and we do the final word live. I'll do it from my car if you want.
So, look. I think the league has responded appropriately. I know you hate to hear that because you hate the league because, you know.
They were fast. They were fast on
you know, Roger.
Got to get us.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, so I understand how you feel about the league, but it was egregious. It was over the top. It was over the line. He got thrown out of the game. We didn't get through lunch before the suspension came down. He's done for the rest of the year, maybe into next year. It will be, depending on how you look at it, if not the longest suspension in NFL history, among the longest suspensions in NFL history. What more does he deserve? Do you think that there should be a criminal complaint filed? Should Mason Rudolph sue him? Should the Pittsburgh Steelers file for a criminal? I mean, do you believe this, people? Because that's ridiculous.
Yeah, look, again, when I first heard it this morning, and I mean, or, you know, midday about the suspension, and I heard about it and I went, because I got it in pieces like everybody, I heard indefinite suspension. And I went, what the hell does that mean? And then I heard that will go through at least through the balance of this year. Then I went, oh, okay, now I'm good with it. Like, I think they were fast. They were swift on this. This was like, look, honestly, we don't know how long it's going to be yet, but what we do know is you're not playing again this year. So you're out for a minimum of six, maybe more if your team makes the playoffs, and then we'll assess 2020. I think that's pretty good. I mean, and again, I separate real world from sports world transgressions. This is in the middle of the game. He lost his mind. The league popped him. Let's leave it at that.
Okay. So we have two other takeaways from it. One is that he is lucky, and the NFL's lucky, that he hit him with the bottom of the helmet and not the crown of that thing. And it was, I don't want to say a total glancing blow because he got a pretty good shot on him, but it was glancing enough that... he didn't draw blood. He didn't even knock him down to the ground. In fact, I think that Mason Rudolph's reaction actually helps Myles Garrett, too, in that, well, Mason Rudolph looked like Jason Tatum going to the basket, where he just turns to the ref, is like, you know, every single time. And it's like, if Garrett had gotten him with the crown of the helmet in the sweet spot and opened up a gash or knocked him out, God forbid, and he's lying on the field, out cold with blood coming down his face, then I think we're looking at a whole different thing.
I mean, he might be done, really. And I say done is like you're not playing in the league again. If something really bad happened, he might have been cooked. And I told you what the other takeaway from me is.
And the other takeaway is this on Freddie Kitchens.
He's got to go. He's got to go. The coach has got to go. This team's out of control. They lead the league in penalties. They lead the league in turnovers. They turn the ball over on three straight offensive plays against the Patriots, for crying out loud. Now they got guys running around the field, more importantly, trying to hurt people.
And just to interrupt, it's like, well, why would why would we combine sort of sloppy football play and these violent acts?
Because they're out of control. They lack discipline. They lack self-control. They can't do any of it. And as the night went on last night, the hit by the defensive back, whose name I
Demaryius Randle.
Okay, and the receiver from Pittsburgh's Deontay Johnson. Because earlier in the game, Juju Smith-Schuster got knocked out. And I felt like the Juju one was, they were headhunting the whole night.
They were headhunting the whole night.
But at least the Juju one I felt like was in a crowd, right? Like they were all, you know, they were high, no question. But he got hit from multiple sides. Like, okay, fine. You know, it's a football play, I guess. The other one, the one on Deontay Johnson, that was headhunting. That guy absolutely lined him out and wanted to knock him out of the game. And he did. And when I saw him take off his helmet and the blood trickling out of his ear, my stomach turned. Okay, so the Browns are out of control. That is completely a reflection on the coach. And it's one, you want to turn the ball over and commit penalties, have a blast. You suck, you'll go 2-14. You're not going to hurt anybody else. When that starts going on, what happened last night in that game and them running around knocking people out of games, players swinging their helmets, You got to go. The coach has got to go now. Now. Out. Done. If I'm the owner of that team, I fire his ass today. That's it. I don't care whether we make the playoffs or not. Team's out of control. We're not going to bring this kind of shame on an organization that's already had too much. Done. You're out. See you later.
It's all part and parcel of the same thing. It's out of control. Totally. And they were headhunting last night. So it's, I'm stunned that Myles Garrett did that. I'm stunned. It's stunning. I've never seen, we've seen guys grab each other's face masks. We've seen them trying to punch each other. I've seen guys try and rip each other's helmets off. That I've never seen them actually then take the helmet and, you know, use it as a weapon like that. So that was stunning. But, so I'm sort of saying this in a cliche fashion. It's really not surprising he went that over the line because the team was out of control all night. They were headhunting all night long. All right, so there's our takeaways on the Myles Garrett situation, but it's agenda-free, so everything is on the board. I promise to your calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 95, the Sports Hub.
He runs up the field and gets out of bounds, but that is not a first down pickup, and it falls short.
Oh, we got reaction.
Uh-oh, we got flags.
Oh, Mason. Oh! Oh!
And the Steelers, oh, we got a kick in the end zone by a Steeler. And I got a kick to the head.
He hit him with a helmet. Mason with the helmet.
Well, yeah.
Well, this just sets the stage for
the rematch.
The rematch.
Yeah, it does.
And there was the Pittsburgh call. All right, to your calls, as promised. Wayne's in Yarmouth. Hi, Wayne.
Well, you made the statement, Garrett's lucky because he did use the helmet as a weapon. But, you know, in his statement, which I read earlier today, he doesn't have any remorse. He says he only wants to apologize, but he doesn't do it.
Wayne, are you going to parse words like that? He says, I want to apologize to Mason Rudolph, my teammates, the organization, the fans, and the NFL. You don't think that's an apology?
I don't think it's an apology at all. I think there's no remorse in any of it. And if you hear him talk about it in his own words, you can tell he doesn't give a damn. And you know what? It's football. So, come on.
I disagree with you. I think you're parsing words. To say, I want to apologize to Mason Rudolph is not an apology? Stop it. Why do we do this?
Not enough for people today.
Yeah, why do we do that?
Because it's the stupidest time to be alive.
It's the stupidest time to be alive.
Yeah, because again, we analyze everything. Well, he says he wants to. He apologized.
That's an apology.
He apologized.
I like Wayne. He's one of our good callers. But it's like, I feel like that's the thing, Murray. It's like, let's get the comfort dog for Wayne. You know, it's because I want to apologize. I don't know how more contrite he could be. Last night, I made a terrible mistake, Garrett said. I lost my cool, and what I did was selfish and unacceptable. What more do you want than that?
Nothing.
I need more. I need crying. I need him to grovel.
I mean, seriously, what is he supposed to say other than that?
You need any more than that. I mean, what he said was plenty. And I would say again, I personally don't put a lot of stock in the words, the spoken word, the spoken apology. Those are all PR things. The only way a guy like this really sort of wins back any respect you have for him is over time. There's no way around that. There's no shortcut.
Ian in Connecticut. Oh.
Hey, guys, you can hear me, right?
Yep.
All right, cool. I want to agree with you guys on the fact that, like he should be out of the league to a point where, you know, it sounds a lot like Lyle Alzado, if you guys remember him. He was the epitome of what happened last night and, like, the reason why that rule was made. Can't use your helmet as a weapon.
I forget the Lyle Alzado thing.
I don't remember either.
So in 1982, right, he took an offensive lineman's helmet off. Lyle Alzado was on the Raiders
Yeah.
Way back when. He took his helmet off during a game, and proceeded to try and throw it at him and use it as a weapon. So the rule has been made because of that, that offensive nobody can use helmets as a weapon. Anymore.
Yeah, so, but the rule is you're ejected from the game, so which they did. But, you know.
No, at the time it was a 15-yard penalty.
At the time it was an attaboy. He got a raise. But, I mean, so it's in the rule book to be ejected if you use if you take off the helmet and use it as a weapon. So he got ejected. And now they're going on top of it and suspending him indefinitely, which means at least six games.
Right, he's done for the year.
So what, I mean, again, I keep saying, like, what more do you really want than that? Dave and Lynn, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the best retaliatory act of all time is Izzy Ilcrantera with the Red Sox when he was dissatisfied with the pitch selection by a pitcher. He preemptively kicked out the catcher and then made his way to the mound to voice his displeasure. I think you guys remember.
Yeah, he karate chopped it. It was a karate kick.
He did. He karate kicked the catcher so the catcher couldn't stop him from getting to the mound.
It's really actually brilliant. And, you know, I mean, not good, not what you're looking for, but what separates this and, the others we talked about is using something as a weapon. The McSorley thing with the stick is using it as a weapon. Or Jose Offerman going to the mound with the bat. Using it as a weapon, the helmet as a weapon. That's what makes it worse than Izzy Alcantara. We've got Dave in Springfield. You're up next. What do you got, Dave?
Yes, calling in. I'm a retired police officer, and all the calls about, or some of the, like, Brooke McFarland talking about, he should be charged. And I just, as a retired law enforcement, bringing law enforcement into a sporting arena in a violent game, with the tensions that are already there, I just think is bad all around. I think it should be handled by the league, which it has been, and it, quite frankly, should be handled by the Cleveland Browns, whether it's firing coaches and getting control of this team. I just don't think it's I just don't think you need to ruin a man's life for a momentary lapse. Because here in Massachusetts, I mean, that's a felony. That's an assault with a deadly weapon. And would it get pled down? Yes, probably. But I think that's going too far.
Okay, I'm with you, Dave. I'm with you. And it's a slippery slope. I know there's some precedent there with some of the hockey things with the stick swinging. And so I know it's happened. And, you know, whether it should have happened or not to McSorley or should have happened or not to Ciccarelli or should have happened or not to Bertuzzi, we can debate. I just want that line to be really, you know, to me it has got to be really egregious for law enforcement to come in and adjudicate something that happened on the field during the game.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Again, it's got to be blatant. And I mean, like, outside of the, you know, normal.
Beyond the pale.
Right. More outside of the normal scope. Like, if we start getting into this, think of what used to happen, especially in a boxing ring. You remember the Ray Mancini thing years and years and years ago when he got a Korean fighter, Dooku Kim, that he actually killed in the ring?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, so they both sort of sign up knowing what it is, and it's all part of some of that's part of the competition.
And some of it's not, and last night wasn't, but I still don't want that to rise to some sort of criminal act, just so long as the league takes care of it. And I feel like they did. Anthony in Waltham has a thought on the Astros cheating scandal. Hi, Anthony.
So with the Astros cheating scandal, I mean, it didn't affect the – I don't think the Red Sox would have beaten the Astros whether they had the signals or not in 2017. And though it's been compared to Spygate, should Bill have been suspended for a year the way Sean Payton was with Bountygate? What's your take?
Should Bill have been suspended for Spygate? I mean, they got hit really hard. I mean, it was the first – now, this is the first cheating scandal.
Right.
Was a first-round pick.
My answer is yes.
Bill should have been suspended for the taping thing?
I don't know about the whole season, but I would say yes again, and I'll tell you why. Because the league told him to cut the crap, and he didn't do it.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean...
So now, a whole year? I mean, look, the Patriots feared it.
That's why they hired Don Capers to come in and coach on defense.
So the Patriots thought it was a real possibility. And I think they, you know, they got lucky there, and so they escaped. But Bill could have easily been popped for, you know... Half a season, quarter of a season, draw the line wherever you want. Whole year feels harsh, but absolutely. I mean, if they tell you to cut the crap and you don't cut the crap, then you get popped.
You go right into the stadium where the Jets know what you're doing, go right into Giants Stadium where they're expecting you to do it, and you do it, and you put the guy right there on the sidelines.
So again, this is where...
And when they catch you, you say, no, I have media badge 169 or whatever.
NFL photographer 138.
Kind of brazen.
It is kind of brazen.
Totally. I mean, to me, that's why I would pop them. Like, but, you know, whatever. They hit the organization hard, and the owner was pretty mad at him as it was. So he got his.
You, I mean, you can't say that the team hasn't been suspended for their stuff.
No, they
haven't been punished.
Yeah. I mean, they've lost two first-round picks, a fourth, and how much money?
But what you're saying is that maybe they were underpunished on Spygate, and which is why everyone thinks they got overpunished on Deflategate.
No, like no question.
They were... that was a make good.
Two first-round picks. Wow.
Paul in the car with the Celtics thought. Go ahead, Paul.
Tony, I do not get your love for Ben Simmons, but you dump on Kemba Walker all the time. I mean, Ben Simmons had 1 point in a playoff game for a guy that drives to the hoop. 1 point? How the hell do you do that? I mean, Jesus Christ, man. You got to come out of that bunker, dude. I don't know how much dry food you got down there, but you got to come out.
I got a lot. Paul, I think Ben Simmons is the most overrated guy in the league.
Yeah, Paul, Jason Tatum went 1-for-18 the other night. You want to cut him, too?
It was a playoff game.
I'm not saying cut him, dude, but look, Jason Tatum had one bad game. Ben Simmons can't shoot flat out, period.
Yeah, and he still scored, what, 20 against the Celtics in the first game of the year?
First game of the year, pal.
Whatever it was. I don't even know how many points he had. 24?
You'll see. Okay. You'll see the Sixers, they just aren't going to go far because they don't have enough shooters and their best player can't shoot. It's a problem.
Development in the NBA can be very slow, very deliberate. You got to wait 5 or 6 years.
Chuck in the car on the Garrett situation. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, yeah. So I want to give Jim Murray a little bit more fuel to the fire here about the whole hand-wringing and moral outcry. On social media, I made the mistake of getting into some debates, but I saw a stark line. Football players wanted Mason Rudolph to get at least a game, and you know, we all said obviously that it was awful what Garrett did, but there's so much pushback from non-football players that Mason Rudolph actually started it and stuff, so I'll hang up and listen, but a little bit of props to Jim Murray there.
Okay, so this notion that Mason Rudolph deserves a suspension too, to me, is preposterous. It's you don't get suspended.
Oh no, he had it coming, Mike.
You don't get suspended or clubbed over the head for trying to take someone's helmet off. You get 15 yards. Maybe at that point, what, there was like, what, 30 seconds left? It was at the end, very end of the game, right? Or was the last
minute? Yeah, no, very late.
Last throw minute. Him out of the game.
So, just to keep the peace, if you had said, you're gone and you're gone, matching, you know, 5 for 5, you're both off, we just want to get out of here, I wouldn't have had a problem with that. 15 yards, Mason Rudolph, for sure, trying to rip a guy's helmet off, maybe grabbing the jewels a little bit, which isn't that unusual in football. It's not. So, like, I'm not telling you he's, like, 1,100% blameless. But you don't suspend a guy for trying to take someone's helmet off. Or even taking it off, for that matter. You give him 15 yards.
Yeah, that's it. Again, people don't get it. They don't get it. And the whole thing, the whole nut-grabbing thing, or then, you know, kicking him in the nuts or whatever. If you got suspended for that, Logan Mankins never would have played a game. He was the biggest nut-grabber in the league, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, no, Logan Mankins had a reputation for going around whacking guys in the nuts.
Nope, yep.
The whole time, that's all he did. He was a nut-whacker.
The nutcracker. We continue with, on that note, the latest on Myles Garrett and that situation, and actually some Patriots-Eagles thoughts when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, Maz, Patriots, Eagles, Sunday here on 98.5, The Sports Hub. You convinced the Patriots bounce back?
No, I'm not convinced they bounce back. No, and I'll tell you, look, if we're doing it from a gambling standpoint, I saw 4 earlier in the week, 3, 3.5, whatever. I would take the Eagles in that game if I'm getting 3.5 or more, until I heard that Jordan Howard might be out. To me, that's a big one in this game, because I think that that's going to affect Philly's ability to run the ball between the tackles. So, you know, I would swing the other way now based on that injury alone. I know that's a big one for me. But that said, I think, particularly on offense, we should get some idea what the Patriots are this week. And I understand it's a 5-game stretch, basically, against good competition. But they've had 2 weeks off. They're coming off a bad loss. If they were to come out and have a stinker and look really no better, particularly on offense, I'm not telling you it's impossible that they would, you know, obviously they put it together late last year. but I would be bothered by it.
I look on the other side. I sort of, I wouldn't say expect, but I do accept that this is going to be a defense-first team. So if the offense comes out and looks similar to what it has, and they score in the 20s, I'm like, okay, that's sort of what they are. If the defense comes out and gets run on again and the ball gets moved on them again, then I'm like, oh, okay. Because
especially considering the Eagles' running back situation this weekend.
And all the good players are hurt now in the backfield on top of it all. But, you know, they've had 2 weeks to listen to people say you're a fraud, you weren't playing anybody, you can't stop the run. And then they come out and don't respond to it. Like, this is an easy spot for them to blah and respond. You know, it's like when they do their best stuff. And if they don't come out and do it, then I'll be like, oh. Well, and, you know, I mean, then we start to build a case that, well, maybe the defense was overrated because of the schedule. And that's the side of the ball that I'm looking
at. No, so that's a good point. I mean, it is. And I think that Philly is compromised offensively. And not just because the Howard injury. Again, I think that's a big one. But Jeffrey's not the same player. Their passing game hasn't been all that good. You know, they're,
well, Jeffrey's not even playing.
Well, so, but, you know, but all year.
No, I know.
Right? Jackson's out. Like, they had all these injuries. Ertz hasn't been the same player this year that he's been. And I think teams are taking him away, and they have nowhere else to go with the ball.
Goddard's pretty good.
So, I mean, they do. Yeah, so look, I just the Howard injury for me is huge. Huge. He's a big, strong back. You know, he's not 6'4". He's not Derrick Henry or whatever size he is in Tennessee. But he's 2.25. He runs hard. He's played well there. I think that's where they've been vulnerable, is between the tackles. And if Philly doesn't have him, I think it makes them easier to defend.
So I don't know if Philly's a great team, but it is one that I have respect for, which that's a short list in this league, believe me. I think there's some talented teams that I don't respect, and coaches I don't respect. And but this is, you know, I think this and Baltimore are similar in that regard. I don't know how good Philly is, but I know they have sort of big game makeup. I think they're well coached. I think they're, when I say tough, you know, a tough big game out, like they're going to show up in a big game. And most every time I've seen them in a big spot, I've seen them show up. Not every time. They had a Sunday night game in Dallas this year where they embarrassed themselves.
Oh, they got throttled.
Okay, but
earlier in the year when they looked like they were in the complete toilet, they went to Green Bay and
spanked them.
Yeah, they played awesome in that game.
So I just respect Peterson and the Eagles outfit a little bit, because I think last year they totally could have turtled, totally could have packed it in, had a big hangover year and just done nothing. Instead, they made it to the divisional round and contended and challenged. They
gave the Saints a game in that divisional.
Yeah, they almost won that game.
They almost pulled out that Saints game there. They had a big drop at the end that, you know, they might have won it. So I just think they have a knack. They have something about them that I respect. And so real test. Real test.
Sure. Oh, yeah. No, real opponent. Yeah, you're in a stretch now where you get real games. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't touch the game. I think it has a chance to be just a rock fight. Like that, they both dig in and play hard and play well.
Okay, those are our Patriots-Eagles thoughts. Again, Sunday here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. We've got 8 minutes to go. We got 7 calls on the board as usual. I'm smelling a lightning round, Jimmy.
Oh.
You ready for that? You got any sound effects for me?
I don't, but I'm excited for it. We should get a sponsorship for
Lightning
it.
Round. Let's go. John in Providence, go. Horrible start here on the lightning round.
That was fast. No, John's that was good.
John's comment line says, people are soft. Murray's take is right. It is. It was a heinous act that coincides with the softest, most sensitive time in history. The worst time ever. And so you put those two things together. Oh, man. Are there picketers all over America right now picketing Myles Garrett in football?
I don't doubt it. Yeah, give it time.
Charlie in Walpole with the Red Sox thought. Go, Charlie.
Hey, Felger, Maz Felger, big fan. Listen every day. I just wanted to see what you guys have heard. I've done some research, specifically Twitter, and I've heard that there's a possible trade between the Chiefs in the past with Andy Reid and Mahomes. Straight.
Okay, I'm going to, boy, good God, horrible start. I'm going to discontinue the lightning round. And just go to Mike and Woburn and let them complain about the refs or something. Who knows? What, Mike, what do you got, big?
6 minutes.
Well, I'm not complaining. Last night, I'm sorry, Myles Garrett is responsible for the single most entertaining moment on Thursday Night Football. I'm dead serious. He played whack-a-mole with the quarterback with his own helmet. Then nobody got hurt. It was absolute mayhem for like 30 seconds. I was vastly entertained. Figure out a way to put more of that into the game. They should have given him 2 points on the ball for lack of safety. It was unbelievable. And the thing that aggravated me the most was watching all the freaking fallout. Everybody whining and crying about what a catastrophe he is and how he should be brought to The Hague for a trial. Michael Irvin stabbed a teammate in the neck because he wouldn't let him cut in line at the barbershop. And he's saying that this was the most ridiculous thing that he's ever seen and justice needs to be done. Michael Irvin is like, he's escaped justice for how many years for what he did with the Cowboys? And he's outraged by this? Like, honestly, we need to reset society. Let them go back, watch, like, you know, maybe a little bit of the Black Plague, maybe a little bit of the feudal era, and then when they watch something like this, they can just laugh and see that nobody was hurt, and it was completely entertaining. More bopping on the heads in football games, please, especially on Thursday night.
Okay, I enjoy the humor of your call. And there is overreaction, because we are in overreacting times. But he deserves to be suspended for the year.
Oh, no question about it. Yeah, no question about it. Murray, what do you call it again? The dumbest time in history?
Yeah, the stupidest time in human history.
I mean, again, I separate the two always. What happens in a game and what happens in the real world. Like, to me, they're totally different things. But the league came down on him hard. And more importantly, they came down fast.
Right. And this
fast.
Is
fast. It wasn't, you know, didn't get to 24. It barely got to 12 hours.
What is left to be outraged about?
Right.
People. I mean, look, and I don't want to discourage your outrage. We thrive on outrage. But I'm just saying, really, he apologized immediately, expressed remorse. He was thrown out of the game immediately.
His teammates condemned it.
But his teammates condemned it in the post game. His coach said it was embarrassing.
You wanted swift justice from the league, and you got it.
We didn't even get on the air today before him being suspended for the rest of the year, maybe into next year. Everyone has denounced it. No one has defended it. So what do we...
It's just not enough.
Where's the outrage left to go?
There isn't any.
So if they underpunished him or they let him off the hook, then we could be outraged. They're not doing anything about violence in the game. That's an outrage. They're doing something about violence in the game.
Yeah, again, I think the people who think that the league hasn't gone far enough, and you know, that's not even fair, because Gasper doesn't think the league went far enough. He thinks it should have been 10 games.
Well, we don't know. It still might be.
Right, right. So, but I think the people they think the sport's barbaric and the sport shouldn't exist. And so those people have a right to believe that. I disagree with them. I like the sport. But I think that that's where they are, and they're going to be outraged at the mere fact that this is allowed to happen.
I'm outraged. You're not outraged enough. Okay. I'm troubled by this, and I'm trouble sleeping tonight. Now I need a weighted blanket.
And do you want to borrow my dog for comfort?
Yes. Tonight? Yep. Send Sally over.
I'll give you Sally. Dog.
Yep. I have a weighted blanket. Those things are awesome.
Patrick in the car. Go, Patrick.
Hey, thanks. Murray, I think you pretty much nailed it with regards to the weapons-grade stupidity of these parole clutchers. I mean, you've seen how many people are calling for Garrett to be arrested for assault or something? It's like, seriously, that's what broke the camel's back? Do you not see what happens on a football field every single week? How many guys are dead because of CTE and opiate addictions, and this is the straw that broke the camel's back? No, isolated incident. The NFL dropped the hammer on it. You're never going to see it happen again.
It's an ugly, violent game.
Tell you what, I think that hit by that defensive back, Randall, was every bit as, if you're going to say, as, you know, a warranted some sort of justice. I thought that was vicious.
And I'm curious if he will be suspended.
I mean, that was vicious.
Mason Rudolph was fine, not a scratch. The poor receiver on Pittsburgh on that play was bleeding out the ear. I've never seen that.
No, me neither. And again, there's something
that's
about that.
It's not supposed to happen.
Yeah, again, when you see people, you know, like that sort of that orifice, like really, that's one that it made my stomach turn.
Here's Keon in Danvers. I'm going to jump him because he's brought up a point that I am maybe slightly outraged about. Go ahead, Keon.
Hey guys, this is ridiculous, man. Like at the end of the day, this never would have happened if Mason Rudolph doesn't try to rip off Garrett's helmet in the first place. I mean, for him not to be suspended any games, that's ridiculous.
Zero, Keon. He should be suspended zero for trying to take someone's helmet off. You should get suspended. That's ridiculous.
No, I don't put a helmet on and try to get your helmet ripped off that was still on your head.
It's annoying.
That's not very comfortable. You know what I mean? That's not very. I mean, I don't know who else would agree to that. But at the end of the day, he started the whole shebang. Had he not done that, there's no reaction. For every action, there's
Keon,
a reaction.
Keon,
right?
Yes, but was that an appropriate reaction to that action?
No, it wasn't.
So now we get stupid on the other side. You don't suspend someone for trying to take a helmet off. That's not a suspendable offense. In my opinion, I don't know, is there something on the books that says if you try and take off someone's headgear, you're suspended? I don't know if there's a rule on the book, but if there is, there shouldn't be. You should be penalized, probably fined, but thrown out of the game for trying to take someone's helmet off?
No. No, no, no. It should be a penalty, grab in the face mask, like every other time. And again, I would have said that Garrett had every right to then grab him back, push his arms down, do whatever you want. Like you want to, you know, force him to the ground by his helmet, grab him down and push him down. Now, that one starts to get a little, you know, but whatever, whatever. You can't rip the guy's helmet off and try to beat him over the head with it.
This is, you now get stupid on the other side. He'd be people trying to blame Mason Rudolph. He might be a punk and a putz and all of those things. And he may have tried to grab him in the nuts or did grab him. He maybe got a whole handful. And he tried to rip the other player's helmet off. So, like I said, unsportsmanlike, 15 yards. You even want to eject him because you're both gone. Get out of here.
That would have been right.
This is get out of control. No problem whatsoever. If you start suspending guys for nut grabbing, you're not going to have many guys left to play.
I mean, people are getting stupid about this. Again, Logan Mankins used to, I think, had a reputation for being one of the biggest nut grabbers
like
in the league.
He had a few high-profile nut grabs.
Okay. So, like, you know.
I don't know, Google him in Denver. He whacked some poor guy on a field goal, man.
I'll give you another one. In other sports, remember the time Milan Lucic hit that guy right in the onions with his hockey stick?
Danny DeKeyser, he got him right in the DeKeysers. Yeah.
He did. He hit him right there. So then DeKeyser would have been justified in turning around and whacking Lucic in the head with his stick.
No, sir.
I mean, what are we being stupid?
Mankins, and it was I just looked it up. Ebenezer Ukuban.
Ekuban,
who sounded like Maz after the field goal again.
That's not fair.
But Mankins got him square. And I think Mankins was ejected. He was certainly fined for it. And, okay.
I loved Mankins. He had a reputation of being dirty as all hell. Nut grabbing in piles and the whole nine yards. It wouldn't surprise me if he tried to bite people for
crying
out loud.
This whole thing just makes me wonder how people would react today if, like, the Pedro Don Zimmer thing happened. Like,
oh, my God.
Like, oh, people would be out of their minds. Or even Roy Rage Clemens throwing the half bat at Piazza. Like, oh, but put him in jail. He's got to be from the sport. Pedro should never be able to pitch again. He assaulted an old man. I mean, things you go back and look at that if you have, if you watched it at the time, was funny then. It's funny now, but no. Tisk, tisk, tisk. You're a monster for actually ever believing that.
Okay, thus concludes the call-in portion of the program. Thank God. Final word comes your way next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody,
James.
Nope. So I'm going to ask Jimmy Stewart, executive producer Jason, is this a joint effort? Is this a Squeaky Maz and Mad Mike put together?
And is it fresh?
It is fresh, yes. I do not know. I got it late breaking from Hardy.
Okay.
So hold on. Huh. But can we just, what would it be? I always like to guess. I'm just curious what was used against us.
Celtic related?
No.
No.
Give us a hint.
Oh, Bruins?
Nope.
Oh. It's baseball related.
It is?
It's the
High and Bloom?
No, it's labeled Hut Stove Storytime.
Oh, story time. Yeah, my fault.
And now, story time with Michael Felger.
This is when I was talking to someone the other day. Someone who's not even that that young.
Not that young.
Maybe 30s.
Maybe 30 years old.
Okay. So I said, boy, the hot stove sure sucks. And they said, what? I said, the hot stove. I'm like, what are you talking about? The hot stove season.
He said, hot stove.
They said, what?
And they said, what?
Never heard the term.
I don't know what you mean. Because why would you? The hot stove kids is what we used to call the baseball off season. because it would be cooking, or it'd be cold and you'd be sitting around the stove.
Sit around the stove.
Talking about rumors.
Talking baseball.
And what baseball teams are going to do, but you'd be in the cold weather sitting around the stove, warming yourself, talking about who's going to trade for who and where is going to go. So it's the hot stove season.
That's how you get through the winter.
But now there's no hot stove.
Ain't no hot stove.
Because nothing happens.
Because nothing ever happens.
Because nothing happens. All these nerds are in front of their computers, and no players are moving, and no one's talking baseball because they're all analyzing the market. The hot stove season is dead. It doesn't exist.
Hot stove is dead.
Ask someone under the age of 40.
Just go and ask the youngins.
About the hot stove season. They look at you like you're talking about something you put in the microwave. They don't know what you're talking about.
Can you imagine if all of America shopped this way at Christmas time? I mean, the economy would tank.
Like back in 29.
You'd run it into the ground.
And the banks foreclosed.
But now there's no hot stove because nothing happens.
Meanwhile, Christmas sucks.
That was excellent.
Thank you, Hardy. Yeah.
That's a 20 to anyone that can actually name what soundtrack that's from, the music he used.
Oh. So I would guess that it's the Coen Brothers movie.
Oh!
With
name
Clooney.
It, I'll give you 20.
Hold on, just stop it. Wait.
Oh, wait, I saw that.
It's a good movie. I like it.
Something Brothers?
Yes, come on. Well, like, it was the Coen Brothers who wrote it.
No.
I'm a man of constant sorrow.
Yeah.
What's the freaking movie called?
Well, time's running up.
Give me a hint.
Do tell.
No, it's the 20s on the line. I'm not giving you a hint.
No, but the 20's off the table. Just give me the answer.
20's off the table?
Yeah.
It's off the table.
Oh, Brother, We're Out, Though.
Oh, Brother, We're Out, Though.
I never would have remembered it.
Oh, Brother, We're Out, Though.
I'm stunned you knew the Coen Brothers did that.
Oh, I like the Coen Brothers.
Tony said something about the brothers?
Yeah, I remember Brother was in the title. Yeah. I remember that.
Okay.
It's almost worth a 10.
It is. That's worth a 10er. That's worth something.
Yeah, 10.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.